us. Smokey is a sophomore from Beggs, Oklahoma, and his major is history. And when he grows up, he wants to be a college football coach.
Smokey's favorite color is blue, and according to his girlfriend, his best quality is humility.
And he says he has a humor like an old man, and so when he starts bugging his girlfriend, he asks if he's irritating her. So here to speak with us now is Smokey Hurst and Dick Jaques.
Well, this is rocky. Well, it's good to be here. And it's good to have a friend like Smokey. Smokey is, Amy was sharing, he's from Beggs, Oklahoma, and he's a red shirt freshman, and he's a linebacker. Now, you don't get to see number 57 on the field very much because he has the privilege of playing behind Rocky Kalmus. You know, pretty stiff competition. But you might have seen him on national TV because he was smart. He stood right behind Stoops during the national anthem. I was talking to Smoke the other day, and he says he's been practicing football for 14 years, and he's been playing for 12. So, Smokey, why don't you share a little bit about your childhood growing up? And
well, the first 3 or 4 years of my life, I thought my name was No, because I always got in trouble, and that's all they ever said to me. My parents got divorced when I was probably 4 years old or three or something like that, so I don't really remember any happy moments with my mom and dad being together. When they got divorced, my mom, we were in church a little bit, and she decided that we needed to get baptized, my brother and I. So we did, in the church where she was taking us to. And my dad remarried this lady, and they were going to a different church with a different denomination. So we went over there, and all of us, my dad, her kids, and my brother and I went down, and we got baptized again. And they asked us if we were saved before we did, and I said, sure, so I could get baptized with my family. Then that's when I started to get to practice with my stepbrothers and my older brother in football. They would never let me play because I was in first grade at that time, in second grade, and they just always used me as a tackling dummy. Then my third grade year, I got to start playing football, and my dad was my coach. And some people say your dad's the easiest coach on you, or some people say he's the hardest. Well, my dad was the hardest. And so my mom took us back to the church where we first started to, and they wanted us to get baptized again at that church. So time I was in third grade, I was been baptized 3 times, thought I was white as white. So my dad divorced his second wife, then got remarried about my middle of third grade year. And grew up in Owosso, and all the way into my eighth grade year. My eighth grade year, I started to hang out with the bad guys and started partying and drinking when I was an eighth grader. We moved to Beggs, Oklahoma, which is very small. You blinked twice and you missed it 3 times. So I went to Beggs my freshman year, and we got 80 plus acres and started raising cattle. But every other weekend, which was the visitations, I'd go back to my mom's and party with my old friends. We started going to the church in Beggs, and since it was a different denomination, they wanted us to get baptized in that church. So I've been baptized 4 times time of my sophomore year. And thought I was saved as could be.
Okay, so tell us, how did you come to a point where you understood that you really weren't a Christian? You were baptized a few times, but you really weren't a Christian. Tell us how you came to knowledge that you were really separated from Christ and you needed Him as your Savior and the Lord.
Well, at the end of my sophomore year, I started dating this preacher's daughter. And thought, I might need to clean up just a little bit. And I did, and we went to Falls Creek, which is a church camp that summer. And I rededicated my life, which I thought, but I had nothing to dedicate in the first place. And then we broke off, and I still hung around. Their family is a great family, and just went over there and visited with them a lot. And then I realized one Sunday morning, our church, the pastor at our church said, if you never really remember the day that you got saved or the day that you asked Jesus in your heart, then you're probably not saved. And he said, not every little detail about it, but just the gist of it. So I could always think back to when I was in second grade and when I got baptized a second time. And this old guy asked me if I was saved, and I said, yeah, just so I could get baptized. So I always thought I was, but I never was. And I went over there one night to their house, and I talked to her mom. I started about 9 o'clock, and I didn't end up getting saved until 6 o'clock that next morning. And we just talked the entire night. And I, at this time, playing football all the time and being halfway decent and getting to play quite a bit, I started my sophomore year and just had this humongous big head ego problem that I was it. I didn't need anything else, nothing. I could do it all myself. And it took a long time and a lot of talking to realize that there was never that point in my life where I did ask Jesus to come to my heart and be my Savior. And I finally did it at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and she was almost asleep anyway, and so was I. And I got saved that day.
That's great. So how did you start growing in your Christian walk?
Well, at first I really didn't realize what just happened because, like I said, I cleaned up my act and I started living the Christian life. My junior year of football, I didn't cuss any on the team. I mean, there's a lot of people that does it. You know, if you're around football any at all, you know that over half the people do cuss. And it's football, and that's what you think you get. Well, I didn't any, and I did pretty good that year. And so when I got saved, I was already living a Christian life, and my life didn't dramatically change like a lot of people's do. That summer, we had a mission trip, but we stayed at Beggs and just went out in the community for a week. And that's when I started learning what a quiet time was, what really having a relationship with God meant, and started, for the first time, really praying. And that really changed my life around a lot, was being with other Christians instead of just being a football player.
So you graduated and you ended up here at OU. So tell us a little bit how you got to OU and how you got on the football team.
First off, I don't want anyone thinking I'm bragging on myself because I can't stand to brag on myself. But I did get a lot of offers to a lot of different small schools. And from my junior year is when I really started thinking about going and playing college football. And I decided then that if I was going to suffer through summer workouts, running and lifting, and being sore my entire life, that I was going to go to a big school and didn't really want to mess with a lot of little schools. So I went. My coach didn't give me my film to send to colleges until January 27th, in which signing day for college is February 3rd. So the time I got it copied off and sent was like the 28th or 29th. So it was too late. They already gave all their scholarships out that they really wanted. Well, Southwestern in Weatherford asked me to come and look around their campus. So I did, but on the way, my dad and I stopped at OU and looked at the facilities here, and that was a humongous mistake to look at OU's football facilities and then go to Southwestern, which their field was no bigger than our high school field in what? We're 2A in Beggs. So I came back, and I was like, okay, maybe OU. Then I waited around. Well, they called me and asked me to come watch a spring practice. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Jerry, my roommate now, asked me if I would come, when I come watch the practice, would come and stay with them a couple of days and come to VSU and meet some of the people around here. If I was coming to OU, they figured I might want to get involved in this. The first day, I came on a Wednesday and watched them practice. And then that night, at the apartment, Jerry and I think it was Ryan and two other guys were having a Bible study, and they let me join in. And it was the first time I ever was around really good Christian men that you could talk openly about problems that you was having in your life, that you could relate to one another. And I was like, I really need that. That next night we came to Vespers, and this guy was speaking, and I just lit a fire in me and just thought, wow, you know, football is great, but I could really learn a lot here. So that's when I decided to come to football, then, or come to OU.
You know, a lot of us probably realize that being on the football team has some real positive things that help you in your walk with God, but also there's probably a lot of hindrances. Can you share a few of those that you have?
What hinders my walk is to be surrounded by filth. During the season, I'll spend anywhere from 5 to 7 hours at the football field, in the morning lifting, practicing, watching film, and all that. So everywhere I turn, there's someone cussing, talking about what they did last night, the parties they went to. And that just wears on you. I mean, it's, you can't, everyone says, you know, you don't have to hear that, you can go somewhere else. Well, you go somewhere else. In the locker room or in the weight room, it's the exact same thing, different person. So that hinders me quite a bit. But at first, it hindered a lot that, you know, you went from being a stud to a dud where you're not anything, and that you're not even close to being on the field to play. And that really hurt, and I was like, why did I come to OU and not get a scholarship? And I was just really questioning God why I came here. And then He showed me that I can't see everything, and He does. I can't see what's going to happen in my life, but He does. And I realized that if I would have gotten a scholarship to come to OU to play football, that freshmen for the first year have to go to study hall from 7 to 9 o'clock. And then if I would have got a scholarship, then I wouldn't have been able to come to FE, which starts at 7, or Vespers, and my walk with Christ wouldn't have grown, I mean, near as much as it did being involved in the BSU. Another thing that really helped me is that being a Christian or being a football player is all mental on us. That being a Christian, you could do anything you ever thought you could be if you just took so much faith and put it in God and didn't think about it. And the same thing with football, with like weightlifting. When I came up here, I was fairly strong, but not as strong as I needed to be to play Division I football. And the coaches were like, you know, do this number, this weight, and do it this many times. Well, in high school, I never could even do it once. Well, if you have these big coaches sitting there and you're trying to impress them, and they tell you to do it, and you do it, and you're like, wow, I can do so much more than I ever thought I could. I can beat my body so much and still have so much more to give. And just having that mental edge that whatever I do in football, I can go and spend all that time and then go to school all day long. But I realize, I can just look at it now, that there's so many parts in the day where I just goof off and slack off that I could be doing a lot more than I do. So the mental aspect of coaches just saying, do it, you got to do it perfectly, or you spend the whole day doing it again and you get really tired. So it's kind of like what has helped me with my walk with Christ, that Christ is tells me all the time to do something, and I just got to do it.
That's good. Well, I imagine a lot of people are wondering a few highlights of the Orange Bowl. We don't have time to talk about the wampums on K-State this time. Tell us, what were a couple of the highlights for you during the Orange Bowl?
One thing that was really neat was to leave Oklahoma with most snow we've gotten in a long time in thick winter coats and gloves to arrive in Florida, where everyone there, it's 60 degrees, and they have thick winter coats on. I'm like, it's hot. And everyone on the team was just shedding clothes when we got off the plane. And that was pretty neat to see all that. Then one of the highlights for me was we had a beach party, and we got to go ride Sea-Doos all day free. And it costs like, everything in Florida is expensive. It costs like $70 for a half hour to ride these things. and they just let us ride them all day free, and which was really fun. But Outback Steakhouse catered the beach party. Then I have a problem that I can't get full. The only time I stop eating is when my jaws get tired of chewing. So we went there, and they had salad, mashed potatoes, chicken, and steak. Well, I got salad to make my plate look pretty. Mashed potatoes, and they had chicken and steak that was already chopped up. I was like, oh, man, you only have to slow down to cut. So we had all the food that we wanted. I mean, they had these big trays of it, and they just kept bringing more. Then during the game, I didn't have too many heroes when I was a kid. You know, I always looked up to my dad, which is a real manly man, and I just thought, you know, I can be like him someday. But the only other hero I really had when I was a kid was Brian Bosworth. I had the flat top. I had the big bars in my head. My mom would never let me put paint in on my sides game days. And I wanted to go to school like that, but she never would. But during the game, Brian Bosworth was standing in front of me, and when we scored the touchdown, he turned around and gave me a high five and a hug and said, "It's pretty awesome, huh, Smoke?" And I froze, and I could not move. I was just locked, and I thought, uh-oh. So that was awesome.
Well, I think it's a pretty awesome deal that there are believers on this football team. And we do need to remember to pray for them because, you know, the testimony, he had a hero, Brian Bosworth, and during that time in his life, he exactly wasn't the one to look up to. I've heard he's become a strong believer now. But these guys are examples to a lot of young kids all over the place. And so we need to keep them lifted up in prayer because it's so important that they keep strong in their walk with God. So why don't we pray right now and close this part. Father, we do thank you for Smokey and his life and just how you've changed it. And I do thank you for how you've taught him a lot of things about how his dedication to working out and trying hard and doing things that he didn't even think he could really challenges his faith and helps him to also realize that those same kind of disciplines can take place in his own life with his walk with you. So thank you just how you've changed his heart and how you've helped him realize he can have a loving walk with you. And we do want to pray for all the believers that are on the team, that Father, you'd keep them strong, that you'd help them to walk with you, that you'd protect them, and that you'd lay before them the challenge that they are a light to a lot of lost people, and that it is so important to them that they keep a good witness. So we do thank you for our time so far, and we pray your blessings upon the rest of it. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, how about them Sooners? Thanks a lot, Smokey. Now, on a more serious note, we're going to watch the video biography of Kim Jones. She was a victim of the shootings in Fort Worth. So now we're going to watch the video called Going Home.